The following programming is sponsored by Pete Trabuco. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
And welcome to another edition of Live on Tape with Pete Trabuco on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. On a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and it's just been an amazing day coming here. I had about 12 things go wrong driving in from Central Jersey. The car didn't work. I had tires on the other car needed to be done. I ended up taking the van, okay, which was kind of interesting. I mean, I was taking the van. I mean, I feel like I was, Scooby-Doo over here with the van. But we got in here. Beautiful day, and of course we've all gone through Thanksgiving. It was a fantastic Thanksgiving for me. I'll tell you, this is the one year that my wife and me did not cook. We did do the turkey. But other than that, everything else was done by everybody else who went to our daughter's house. And we ended up having a whole bunch of family members there. It was great. I didn't have to worry about traveling too far. I had to go maybe a couple miles, and it was fantastic. Now, Tyler, I know you had something planned. We talked about this last week. But you were going to do something last week. What was that?
I was planning on working. I was at my other job, doing all kinds of work, running around the whole place and delivering food, all that. It was fun. Great, you know?
So you did work. Now, it wasn't this radio station. It was the others, right? Or was it this one?
It was a different job, yeah.
Oh, was it really? Yes, yeah, so for those of you who know, Tyler's not just the producer of this show, but we all know Beasley Media. It's one of the biggest brands here in Philadelphia with five stations, six stations. And we've got some really good ones here. And Tyler, forget it. I just can't get him full time. I mean, he's just too busy. Too busy a guy. Now with us today, again, we've got an amazing guest. I mean, you'll find her everywhere. Facebook, social media, Instagram, you name it. She's probably on the dark web too. Who knows?
I think I am with those 40 accounts.
So you never know where she's at, but she's an amazing woman. When I mean amazing, I mean like a 10, okay? This is like Bo Derek in a 10, okay, from the movie 10 with Dudley Moore.
He's being sweet.
All right. We got Amy Granberg here today, okay? She's a comedian. She's a podcast satirist, child rights advocate. She's also part of Safe Horizon Trauma Center. She's got more fans, okay, on one of her pages than I got on all of my pages, okay? And I tried to do real well with that. So she's just an amazing woman. So how are you doing today?
I am so good. It's beautiful out, and I'm super excited.
And that's right. And I think you did a Fox News thing before you coming in here, so.
Interview.
Yes. And believe it or not, I've been on Fox a few times, okay, in New York City, as well as, the Fox 29 here in Philadelphia. And, of course, I've been there. I had to go on MSNBC, too, because if you go on Fox, right, Fox News Channel?
Yeah.
You lose friends on Instagram and Facebook because they're like, oh, he's a Republican. He's on Fox News.
Yeah.
So I had to go on MSNBC, or what some people call MSLSD. No, just kidding. bottom line is I went on there as well. So now I go and I say, look, I go on any station that will let me talk about what I'm talking about, whether it's travel, vacation, or whatever. I'll go on any station. I've been on Newsmax. I've been on CNBC. I've been on Fox Business, the Travel Channel, Discovery Channel, all these different channels. So the bottom line is, I don't want to get political. If you want me on the show, and I want to be on your show, by the way,
because
Amy's got a show, and I tell you, it's the coolest.
Truth teller.
She's a truth teller, and believe me, these are things that you don't normally hear, but she cuts through all the red tape. Literally, right? You cut through all red tape. You give it like it is, man.
Radical honesty.
And that is something that we desperately lack. Here in the United States, and especially in Philadelphia.
Well, that's why if you're radically honest, that's why I've decided to live just completely. Like, you don't have to think. Uh-huh. I can talk really fast because there's no programmed answer.
Yes.
I just literally live exactly what I'm thinking. And it takes a long time to get like that, but if you can people a little hint on how to do it, is you just start with the small things. Like, you just tell the truth. Like you said, how did you get here? In my Scooby-Doo car. What happened this morning? I messed up and I got up late. Or like, why didn't you want to come? I just didn't want to.
Okay.
Like you get like, you know, just start with the little things and then eventually you'll just live in truth and then you attract that back.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. And in fact, I've listened Folks, if you get a chance, Amy, G-R-A-N-B-U-P-U-R-G, right?
Berg, like yeah. Gron Berg.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Look her up, okay? I mean, she and I, you know what amazes me about what you do? You've got so many followers, so many people there. But what you're going straight through without a stop. I mean, there's no stop.
No.
Like, it's like live, and it's straight through. And in fact, right now, I think we're going live as well.
Yes.
So the bottom line is she's just amazing in that if it were me, I would be like Fred Flintstone going on television during that show. He went, couldn't open his mouth because he was so nervous.
I do plan it out, though. They're all written and researched, my topics. But like, you know, well especially my Wednesday show, and I have my manager, Sam Langello. Shout out to her. Fact checks everything I want to do. So say if I want to talk about, I don't know, when I did my show on witches, then she'll like, you know, certain we'll track back and then she'll double check me. Uh-huh. On facts, especially when it comes to sports or politics or, you know, any of the big, anything medical.
Yeah.
That's her area. So she double checks me. So we love the combo works good because I'm like the detective that goes on gut.
Yeah.
And confrontation. And then she's like, you know, does the, she's like the CIA.
So
and women are the best at CIA and FBI. Oh. We are the best. Yeah.
So she's the fact checker. She makes sure. But what happens if you make a mistake? I mean, what happens if you're like the information's wrong and she's there going, no. What
it has.
What do you do?
She goes, stop saying that. You look, can I say? There's words around the way we say it. No, she says like, you look stupid or you didn't check that or whatever. She just wouldn't let me do it. And then, how do I say it? Intelligence is the ability to receive new information in quickly and then change. So I'm very open like that. If you tell me something, I can switch. If you show me fact, or even just sway me, I can just switch gears. And then I immediately apologize if I'm wrong.
I
just move on. I'm sorry I was wrong.
I apologize all the time on the show. They're just kidding. Tyler catches me in a few things a few times. You know, it's like, yeah, well, trust me, I could not work the board like Tyler does there. So technologically, I cannot do the job. But okay, so you're a satirist. Basically, you talk about things. And you make it interesting. You make everyone that you do. It's like I'm sitting there and I'm like, let me watch. And most of the people I see that do what you do, within 30 seconds, I'm bored. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. This is going to go on for how long? But I'm sitting here, and I'm like, what you going to do? You're like a Howard Stern, okay?
That's what I want. Like, yes, well, the original Howard Stern. That's what
no,
I
the
like.
Original from
he kind of like sold
from,
out a
from
little
WNBC,
yes.
You know, yes. New York City. And yes, I had one of the
he
news-
says what people are thinking, and I feel the same.
Yes.
Like I go right to the meat of it. I think the first interview I did, we had a black man on, and he was and everybody was asking dancing around all these questions, and he was dating a white woman, so I just went right into the questions.
Yeah.
Like, what did his dad, what did her dad say? What's going on with this? Do you face public prejudice? And everyone was just like, I can't believe you're asking him those questions. I was like, well, that's what everybody wants to know.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are things.
At first.
There's the elephant in the room, okay?
Right.
And in your case, I wouldn't want to be an elephant in the room with you around, okay? Because it ain't going to last too long in that room.
If you're not authentic or you're not honest with yourself, then I get a lot of people that get triggered. But that's like, we're in cancel culture right now, so they're getting extra triggered.
This is true.
But I also believe intelligence is tolerance. So we have to be able to be tolerant of each other. So I'll go first for the team. That's it.
That's great. podcasts, basically, you've got several of them. Tell me how you get into this, okay? I know how I did. I was in college and basically in the 80s, and I ended up doing, I did an internship with a local radio station, and I've been hooked ever since doing this for since 82, 83. But how did you get involved with this?
Well, I was always a speaker.
Yeah.
And in sales and in beauty field.
Yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about the sales.
So, I was a beauty school teacher. The director of the school, so sales. So we were like, that's how I met my best friend. So you'd be like on stage every single morning doing a little pep rally for all the girls. But just imagine running, right?
Yeah.
About 200 students, all mostly female, couple of gay men in there, right? 18 to 24.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the demo. That's the demographic. So you can imagine what that's. You should see when they all cycle up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's in fact. Once girls are alone together for at least a couple of months, then they also sync up on cycles. So I'd have over 200 girls like all cycling together, if you know what I mean. Yeah, so me and Sam and I were young at the time. So like it was wild. But that's how we learned to be on stage talking openly. And there's nothing more humbling than talk in front of a teenage girl.
Really?
And being another woman. Oh, yeah. They want you want to know where you stand right away. You want to know if you're boring. You got 5 seconds. Go.
That's right.
I've had guest speakers in there like, watch out. They're going to eat you alive. They will. And they did. So then they gave me radical, honestly, the truth. And then I started to kind of go and manage that way. And then at one time I did, I did like, for some reason, I did one of the, a study.
Yeah.
What is it? Like a survey.
Okay.
Where I had all the students survey me and my other teachers to see how we were doing, if they like us, our likability, our teaching, our way we speak.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you, it was the biggest growth and the biggest humbling experience I've had in my life.
Oh, really? They knocked you?
Oh, everything to fake as fuck.
Oh, there we go. We got it.
I won't do it. I will not do it. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, that's okay.
It's gone. It was out of the system. That's okay.
We'll pick up from there. Okay.
I will not say another one.
So did they knock you, huh?
Well, anybody, if you let people be completely honest.
Yes.
And not hide, you know what I mean? Because now we have all the trolls that hide behind the faceless profiles and the keyboard warriors and so on. But if you let people be completely honest and give them the space to do so, you'll get radical feedback. If you're confident enough, you know what is true and what's not. So when it hits me, and it hurts because it does.
Yeah,
they'll say like somebody's going on about my roots, right? Like, and it's the truth. So it's going to be bothering me. It's only if you believe it to be true.
Yeah,
but then your biggest critics. Then I look into it. Then I'm like, you know what? He's right. The roots are dark. You know what I mean? Like, so you gotta like, if you can see it as that, then nobody can use it against you. Like Tyrion Lannister says, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where you're. Pain like Arma, because, you know, the world's not going to forget what you are, so
okay.
You might as well own it. So then that's what I did. I started owning it and then radical honesty. So, but the speaking began officially then, but that's when I got the bug for live. I was always a live speaker and always in front of a group.
Uh-huh.
So when COVID hit, you know, I was like, I have to speak. Because if you've been a speaker for 15 years, you can't not speak.
Sure.
And then I was like, what do we do? And another school I had funding went under for my life skills school for the young girls.
Sure.
So then then COVID came and everybody was doing podcasts. And I was like, wait a minute, I can rule in this area because I'm a speaker. But I had no idea the difference of being able, like talking into just a device. So it's a big difference than live speaking.
But it's funny you should mention about the criticism. So a lot of people, you know, especially us guys, you know,
right.
We get real upset when you criticize us, okay? But I've learned more from the criticism than I did from actually doing this. In fact, every show we do, I listen back. And I'm very critique. I'm like, okay, you did this wrong. You should have done this. You should have done that. And that makes the show better. But you got to open up and you got to be strong enough to know that, you know, I'm going to survive this. And it's going to make me a better person. I do acting. And the director might say, well, you did it this way, off Broadway or whatever. Can you do it this way? On Nurse Jackie, I did a scene, which was basically the hurricane scene. And I thought I did it really well because I'm a newscaster. I know what to do.
Right.
But the director wanted something a little bit different. So instead of getting angry, I did it again. And then I realized when I saw it that it was actually better the way that person thought of it. So I was trying to keep an open mind on stuff along those lines. But and by the way, your roots are not bad, okay? Just so you know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in here with a model, okay?
Uh-huh.
She's a model, all right? So, you know, it's a good day here. It's Saturday afternoon. I got a model here. And I don't know about the roots. But
we should talk about that. But the catfishing thing, that's another whole thing. It is weird to see somebody in person now. People do say that to me at first. They're like, oh, it looks like you look like the video. Because now they have the whole catfishing dilemma. That's what they feel.
Which is true. And I get that a lot, too, on social media. I get that a lot as well. Whereas they're like, people will say, is that really you? Okay, you got my Facebook page, Instagram page. You got my, X page. You got my... The LinkedIn page. There's a whole bunch of them, right? They're all the same. And I'm an open book. You go to the page, you'll know everything about me. And they still say, are you real? I'm like, what do you mean? There's videos of me. There's that and the other thing. So yeah, you're right.
No, but they're not used to seeing it. And I know, and so many, since I have so many men that follow me, like they tell me all the time, it's an epidemic, epidemic of catfishing, especially on dates and stuff now. It's another level. I think it's because of the whole social media, everything, because between all the AI and the perfect images, so then women, we have massive complexes against that.
Sure.
And then men are so used to seeing it that it actually, since I'm a women's studies expert, like, that it actually warps your brain. And then eventually you keep seeing those smooth images, you won't be happy with anything in real life. So that's why they're endless, you know, fake.
Well, I can tell you, you look exactly like your videos. Exactly. Actually, folks, she's even prettier.
Okay.
All right. But seriously, I mean, every video, and by the way, we got about a minute left. I do want to talk about one thing, and we'll get back to it after the break. But that is this. You wear all these different outfits.
Yes. I love cosplay and makeup.
Oh, my goodness. And we'll talk about that. We're with Amy Grumberg, okay, comedian, podcast, satirist, and child rights advocate. We'll be back with Live on Tape right after these messages. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. And it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
Teachers shape the future. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change. And generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
And welcome back to Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio Philadelphia on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Hey, before I get back to our guests, I want to introduce you to, and we talk about this every week because they're fantastic, World Star Public Relations, where excellence meets exposure. Now, are you ready to elevate your brand to the new heights? Well, their team of dynamic public relations experts is here to make your story shine bright on the global stage. Now, whether you're a startup, an established artist, a business, or a rising star, man, they can do a job for you. They specialize in campaigns that really captivate and resonate. So that's World Star Public Relations, your passport to the world of unparalleled visibility and success. So join the ranks of World Star Public Relations, and you can reach them at 601-506-6600. And we are with, oh man, an amazing guest. And I tell you, I got the best seat in the house right here, man. I get my camera out, we'll put it on Facebook, okay, or whatever.
Yes.
But I've got Amy Grunberg, comedian, podcaster, and she's got multiple podcasts, satirist. When you're talking about things, she cuts right through all the red tape with everything. Child rights advocate and also Safe Horizon Trauma Center, I guess, speaker for them as well.
Yes.
So, okay, so let's get back to you. I mean, now, you do the podcast, or you do the cast, what, two or three times a week? Is that what it is?
I always do it on Wednesdays, and then before when I wasn't shut down, but I'm constantly shut down for censorships.
Okay.
Reasons, so I have to hop around. But in an ideal world, it's 3 days a week. But two are rants.
Okay.
My Wednesday show is my full satirical, like, written, you know, researched show. And then when I have to rant, I rant. I rage rant because it gets it out.
Yeah,
the truth.
It's true. It's funny.
And how I get back on my haters, because I don't. I actually truly believe in no censorship, which is the freedom to offend. So I delete nothing. I'm very radical in that way.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people don't want to come on my show, or especially women, because they're attacked. Like, I leave it up for all to see. And then everyone's always shocked, like, oh, it's just you. I'm like, no, it's everyone. They just hide it and delete it.
And that could also be a problem, too, especially on social media when, mm-hmm. you know, because if you just need one person to say something about, you know, that about what you're doing,
right?
And the next thing you know, you're in jail. You're in Facebook jail or something. Or
well,
whatever.
See what the word, which is one of the laws I'm fighting right now in advocacy, is the censorship laws.
Sure.
Because if it's a public platform like a PBS, you understand, it's a free public platform. We don't pay for Meta. You don't pay for Instagram, right?
No.
So if it's a free public platform, By like our constitutional rights and our natural rights, you're supposed to be able to have it free. Yes, it might be 18 plus, but you link in as an adult, just like you would in an adult site. But once you agree and click in, there should be no censorship.
And that's something freedom of speech.
Because what happens in especially in Meta world is this, with the whole new woke culture, is this, if enough people find what you're saying offensive, they can shut you down, and that's not right. That's even if you're setting up terms. and sure. saying we can't use a curse word, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you either have one rule or you don't. You can't say, well, we can use cursing in satirical way, or you can use cursing in this way, but then because you can't decide what is offensive to me.
Yeah. Well, the problem
you can't shut people down because it's offensive to you. Just can't. So it's
and
a big stance.
The problem I have with that is this: when have you gone to the limit? And does the limit keep changing, or does the actual fence, if you want to call it, or the gate, go further and further? When do you stop? I mean, when does it? Because in the beginning, it could be something very simple. And then someone gets offended by something else. And then someone gets offended by something else. And
that's why you can't have any censorship.
And you know, my biggest problem with that, I love football and I love baseball.
Right.
And I'm sorry, the Cleveland Indians are the Cleveland Indians. They are not the Cleveland Guardians. Okay.
Talking sports.
Okay. And also the Washington Redskins. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're not the Washington Commanders. And that's all because of the fact that, you know, in Seton Hall, for example, they were the Redmen. And now they're not, the Red Storm. So there comes a point where you're like, it's got to be a limit to how far you can go to limiting people's rights.
Well, that's okay? why you can't limit it unless it's illegal.
Yeah.
Unless we're doing something like, you know, a beheading where there's no reason you can't. It's freedom to offend.
Yeah.
If it's 18 plus content, you put in 18 plus content, you're allowed in. And then a lot of like radicals will say, well, it protects the children. Really? Go on an iPad. Are you 18? Sure am. Boom!
Oh,
you're
yeah.
in. So it's just a false. It's just a way to control you. And if you look, they do.
Yeah.
They silence you endlessly. So that's a big one. But I just wrote that's the warning. But most people on a feminist stance,
sure,
which has the bad word, I always say, it's no one believes me because it's radical. That's why you need to see it up. They like, for example, I want to break a couple myths. You know, like women say, I keep all my profiles private. Keep them all private because I don't want a bunch of creepers. No, no, no. Or men asking me out. It's not that. They keep it private because their body and age shamed horrifically if a woman puts herself out there in any way.
Really?
If she wants to speak in any way, shape, or form. Do you think I'm attractive?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, now you can imagine the hate I get, right? Now imagine if the woman is not in, you know, a certain like aesthetic. Can you imagine what she gets?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
If she's over 30, she's the crypt keeper. If she has a flaw, forget it. They start with the overweight. That's just another way to silence us. But it's gotten to another level. Miss America unalived herself.
Sure.
Black Miss America. Because she kept hiding all the comments. They kept calling her man over and over and over.
That's right. Yeah.
And then she hid it. So I don't hide it. I speak for, just like I do in my advocacy, I speak for the people who can't. And the online bullying is another way to silence. You have to allow it. And this is another thing with Meta. You cannot have, if I can't, as a monetized page, have facelift profiles. I have to be scanned in with my social security card. I have to be scanned in with my face ID.
Sure.
You should not be on a public platform. If you want to speak publicly, own it.
Really?
Own it. Say who you are. I'll let you speak. Free hate space.
You think that all started with Barbie, the Barbie doll, basically? How it looked so perfect and everybody's trying, all the women were trying to look like that and have that Barbie type of a shape. And
patriarch,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's got to be hurtful. You know, when a person is going to be totally different than that, and unfortunately.
Well, men will say, you know, in a massive poll they've done, they say that the woman's highest value is her looks.
Really?
Yeah, and that is her worth. A lot of them believe that. Or they're judged on the value from that, and then see, that's what I'm saying. So that's why, that's another whole point of my stance. It's because a lot of women who are intellectual usually have to put that aside.
Yeah.
Their beauty, their femininity, their sexuality. To be taken seriously. And I don't believe that. It's just, we just have not seen it been done before. Not since Queens.
Nope. And that's a sad state of affairs.
That's why we're bringing it back. Yes, you can be sexual and intellectual. Yes, you can be visually appealing. I never understood that. Anytime I've done any kind of thing in any kind of speech, or if it's like any type of political speech or anything like that, they always are like, what are you wearing? I'm like, you're going to wear a suit. I'm like, a suit? No. A curvy girl stuck in a suit? I look like, wow, chicka, wow, wow. Like a bad movie's about to happen. Or I look like a man, like shoved into a sausage. I cannot, it's just not who I am. I don't know where that started, where like to be taken seriously, you have to put a suit on. I don't understand that either. So
well,
I wear
yeah.
a dress because I'm a girl.
Well, that's okay. I think you look good in a wheelbarrow, okay? So yeah, I think you'll be fine. But okay, so let's go into a few of the things. You are an advocate.
Yes.
Of many different things. One of the ones that really touches close to my heart personally is, of course, child rights and, you know, what the situation is there. Tell us about that. How'd you get involved in that?
Well, because I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
of SA abuse, you know, from my family.
Oh,
that, okay. That's huge reason. But it wasn't just that. It was because when I was in the beauty school teacher.
Okay.
When all the my students would come to me, everybody always thought they would come for like pin curls or like, you know, problems with the beauty. It wasn't. It was endless, like they were abused or they needed help or their boyfriend, you know, had a domestic violence situation or they needed like, you know, who was raped or like there was all these endless things. And then we started to go like, where could you track it back?
Sure.
And you stop it when they're young. Put it this way. Any of my, when you're growing up in a house of abuse, you don't know. The elephant's always in the room. So you'd think it's kind of normal. It wasn't until you see people outside like, that's totally wrong. That is insane. What is going on there? So then it's been proven in studies if how the child is received when they come forward is everything.
Because
the trauma isn't what's the trauma. The trauma is after when you go and go report the trauma or tell somebody about the trauma and the whole family shuts you down. Because it's always usually 90% of the time it's coming from your family. So when you bring it to the family, it always goes the same pattern. Oh, they worry about the victimizer.
Yeah.
They never worry about how the damage it does to the child. So if the child feels, usually they when they do express it, they tell it to somebody like in school or they tell it like some kind of person like that. So that's when they start with the mandate reporting going on.
Okay.
But to make a long story short, is what our schools needed was a body safety course, which would be age appropriate, body autonomy, safe touch. And Erin Moran, she's the one who, that's her law. She was abused by a cousin and an uncle.
Now, speaking of that, you came up with some figures in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're driving over here. With regards to the percentages, one in three?
One in three girls will be essayed by the time she's 18.
Oh, my goodness.
And it used to be one in six with boys, but I feel the number is way lower. Men have a lot more stigma.
Okay.
So they're less to come forward because then they have, like, they get shamed as gay or they get shamed as emasculated. They just don't – it's not the same. Or it's if it's an older woman, sometimes it's glorified. Oh, your first experience is with the teacher? That's awesome. The kid's 12.
Yeah, no.
Screws them up for life, and they don't realize how much it damages. It damages just the same, if not more, because then the patriarch doesn't support boys the same.
No.
They're shunned yet again. Or they're shunned just for being weak. Like, why didn't you step up? What are you doing? You liked it. And then that's part of, you know, the victimizer's tool is they like to, like, get you included in it, and your body betrays you.
You know, having a daughter, okay, mm-hmm. that one in three figure scares me big time, okay? That's higher than I thought.
When body safety comes in, well, it's SA. They don't, and on our laws, you know what I mean? When it comes to more severe, that's another whole area that I have to be, you know, that's another separate issue of fighting for laws. If you knew what our laws were, you'd be shocked. And usually only happens when something happens to your child and you want to bring it to their attention and then you realize that nothing's done. Only one out of 1,000 rapists will ever see jail time. Out of 1,000.
I saw that too. I saw those figures. That was absolutely.
And 90% of the time, if it's a family member, they never report it. If you do, you go to family court and you get counseling at best. And if it's just molestation, it's just, yes, that's it. Then it's called simple molestation. If we go by body damage laws here, especially in New York and LA. And so it depends on if some damage was done. So if there was no damage done, it's simple molestation. It's like me getting goosed in the elevator at a bar. Like you squeeze my booty. That's the same exact thing. It's a misdemeanor at best, possibly a fine.
Yeah.
And you've just damaged the child for life.
Yeah, it's not a felony. That's
misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor. And that's nothing.
Even child corn, that is if you're just downloading it or you're viewing it, misdemeanor at best. It's only a federal crime if it's uploaded from your computer, which we all know that area too.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
No, that is a lot. And
it's a lot of heavy stuff, so I try to keep it as light as I can.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing because, you know, I've had some guests on here, and they've admitted to us on air that they were abused when they were younger, and it changed their lives. In fact, PTSD, you know, basically is what comes out of it. Other people I've talked with, and it's something that people just gloss over. It's like,
People confuse PTSD with CPTSD. Like when you're younger and instead you're like your whole amygdala gets damaged from brain damage, especially the younger the child, the closer the person is to you and the younger the child and then also how they handle it, how you're handled afterwards.
Yeah.
If it's met, like it should be met with rage and disgust and nothing for the child. Congratulations and thank you so much for bringing this. You are so strong. Because they've actually interviewed children who did immediately go to the parents, and the parents were amazing.
Yeah.
Like, say they went and talked about their coach, and it was handled like textbook, and the kids actually left empowered.
Yeah.
They walked away like I did this great, like I escaped this. And that was the difference. I want to leave it on positive note before we switch it up.
Sure.
Is that the difference with me and other survivors, where I can speak of it, is I've never had the mindset of poor me. And I've never had the mindset of like after something horrible happens, a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm so traumatized. I looked at like Texas Chainsaw Massacre like, I can't believe I escaped that.
Good for you. You're a survivor.
Like I can't believe I just lived through that. Like, yeah, that was pretty rad.
And if you can live through that, you
like
can
live
through.
Like a Navy SEAL does.
Exactly.
They walk out like, holy crap, did I just dodge 6 bombs and almost die? And then you get like an adrenaline high for that, and then you can actually have self-esteem. So start switching it from, you know, like Maya Angelou said, she goes, you know, why me? She goes, why not you? Who do you think you are to be exempt of the 1 in 3?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like it's, you know, basically whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that's pretty much what's happening here. You're looking at the positive aspect, saying if you can survive that, you can survive pretty much anything. And I think that's definitely something.
And it's not you.
Yeah.
Just got to remember it's their shame. That's what people have said horrible things. Aren't you embarrassed by talking out? Aside, these are my top 4 things. Why aren't you embarrassed talking about it? I was like, why? I didn't do it. Yeah. Or then they say, well, aside from all the abuse and stuff, though, you did have some pretty good parents.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they have money or they look nice or something. Like, but aside from that, you had a nice home and everything, right? Or then what people have said, like, oh, you're married. Like, when I was married, like, oh, you're married now? Like, oh, you're all good now? It's all done now, right? Hey, we're all good.
Yeah.
Or like you said, or didn't you become stronger? No, actually, it uncovers your strength. It doesn't give you it.
Oh, does it really?
Well, most people are, I mean, I'm not better for it.
Yeah.
It just kills the child who the child would have been.
Okay. Well, we are talking with Amy Grundberg, and we'll be back with Live on Tape right after these messages. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push, and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit LifeVac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
There's a place where veteran stories, the fabric of our nation's past, serve the future. Now your experiences can be an invaluable resource, a treasure piece of an ever-growing collection. Share your memories with us at the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where the experiences of U.S. military veterans are preserved. You help inform the next generation of students, scholars, researchers, and veterans too. To submit your stories, photographs, and other military documents, visit loc.gov/vets today.
Welcome back on this Saturday afternoon on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group radio station. Pete Jabuco here with, of course, the tried and true Tyler Conklin on the board and doing everything that I can't do. So, Tyler, thank you again, and I appreciate all you do for this station as well as for me personally.
Always happy to help.
Happy to help. And of course, we got Amy Grundberg here, comedian, podcast, satirist, and child rights advocate, as well as Safe Horizon Trauma Center speaker. I'm telling you, folks, you got to go to her pages. She's all over the place. I mean, in fact, she's so popular that there are catfish people. There are people that pretend to be her, using her pictures and maybe doing something with her involved. That's when you know you made it. You know, is when you're actually on these lines and people are trying to imitate who you are. So just an amazing...
When can they protect me now? it's like you got the worst part first. I guess that's what's preparing me.
Well, you remember, we have a good audience here. Yeah. 25 to 54, okay? They're older. Hopefully they're past that part where they're going to like stalk you. You know, so we'll see what happens there. Okay, so we talked about the child rights advocacy. And free speech, obviously, which the new administration will bring on board.
Yeah.
But let's go into Safe Horizon. Tell me about that.
Well, Safe Horizon, I was a keynote speaker for them. And they had like a celebrity panel. I was like only, I think, non-celebrity there. But okay. They pulled, when COVID hit, they pulled all the funding from all trauma centers, period, the ends. And they silenced all any celebrity or, you know, radical speakers, as they would say it, from speaking publicly. So now if you notice, you won't see any trauma centers openly, or you won't see any of those like child protection boards right now.
Okay.
That you just won't see it. So now there's a lot of us have gone rogue.
Really?
Because we have to enforce, because that's the most frustrating thing. To fight for a law, pass a law, and then have to now fight to enforce the law. That's crazy. Because people don't realize that. Not only do passing the law is the easy part, you have to actually make sure the law is pulled down.
Well, yeah.
Goes into effect.
Well, my background, basically, I was chief of staff of the state assembly and basically got bills passed. One of the biggest one, obviously, I'm very proud of, is the one that we talked about earlier, and that is the automated external defibrillator bill, making it legal for anyone in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and in all 50 states to use a defibrillator without getting sued. And I'll tell you, you got to go through all the different groups before you even get to the assembly or the state senate. A lot of times you're going to be sitting there with other people who are opposing you at these meetings. And depending on who the chair is, it may never see the light of day. You know, and right. That's the other thing. So you got to work with on the chairperson. You got to work on getting it through committees. And then comes the even fun part. And again, if people are political and Republican, Democrat, that could be a problem. You got to try to get both of them on the same page. And of course, the state senate is the last hurdle before it goes to the governor's desk. So
Correct. It
could be vetoed or basically it could be thrown out in just a general meeting, but it could also be done as well through the assembly. And if it makes it through the assembly, it goes into the state senate. And if in the senate, it could be knocked down. And then the governor could just veto it. So you're right. It's a lot of work. And then the bill changes. All the amendments. Well, I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Well, they got rid of the Women's Against Violence Act, which was put away. We had, you know how much we lost? We don't even know what we lost in that bill.
Yeah.
So many things. So many things that were all going ahead that we would.
Yeah.
I can't say enough. And they like to lump it all into that one bill. That's what they did with the whole trans movement and everything. And that's how my bill, like our law, got kind of shuffled in there. Body safety for children is just body safety.
Yeah.
Like just safe touch. The ick, we call it. When you get the ick. Because that's what it is. There's never anything. When a child comes to you, it's ick. I don't like him. I feel weird. I feel uncomfortable. So listen, you know. So a lot of times they throw the whole thing into this big packet because nobody's reading anymore. Most people get all their news.
This is
hence
true.
The reason I went into satire too. Because of George Carlin, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He said, if you ever want to speak, he's another one of my men.
Tell me about that.
Well, I always loved him, even as a little girl. I couldn't understand it. Nobody, and I remember people be like, why do you like him? He's like this old man, like he's political. And I'm like, you don't get it. I would be able to catch all of his satire. I always loved satire.
Yeah.
And I always liked that I could get it in. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Matilda.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I felt like I was like a Matilda growing up because I was with people like not – definitely not evolved in that way, brainy, but I would be able to get my goofs in through satire. And George Carlin used to always say, if you're going to do advocacy or something like that, the only way you're going to ever get on a public platform is you're going to have to do it through satire. That's how we get away with my little skits and stuff.
And I like them. Again, folks, you got to go on. You got to check these out. Hey, did you know a little fun fact? George Carlin was the first, I guess, speaker or announcer for Saturday Night Live. He was the very first one to go on.
I know it was on there a lot, but I didn't know.
Yeah,
he was the first.
Very first one, the very first show that was done in the 70s, and he was the host of the show, which I thought was pretty cool. George Carlin was.
I believe he was a prophet.
Yeah. Well, remember the seven words you're not supposed to say, which you said you said one of them already.
That was it. I just got the one. I got it out. I'm doing so good. I'm so used to cursing. I'm so sorry. I got to stop my potty mouth because it is holding me back. I got to stop. But it is part of honesty. Do you know people who curse are way more honest, more authentic?
Well, listen.
And less stressed.
Like I said, I think your show, basically, I think what you do, and I love the satire in your shows. Okay. I love the fact, I mean, and you have these faces that you give, which I tell you one thing. If you didn't even have to say anything, just show the faces that you give when you're talking about a topic, or just have the topic come up and then just make a face.
Yes.
Because basically, I think that's what really sells me on what you're talking about. You're honest. And you can see from the facial movements that this is something that you're very, very into and very passionate about. And I think that's why you have so many people.
Passion. No, they say light yourself on fire. People will watch you burn. They can feel it. No, they can feel it. I love it. No, yeah. I truly do. I'm alive when and I'm more myself in front of a camera than I am, or okay. in front of an audience than I am private.
Now you have guests on the show every once in a while, or
I do, but they get scared. I've had actually, I have to goof on that. I've had four men
okay.
cancel on me at the last minute.
Because they're afraid?
Yes, because they get upset because A, it's live, and B, because I don't delete comments. They can't take it. Like, you will be called gross. You will be called ugly. They go through a lineup, though. Like, if you're a girl, the women go through a lineup. First of all, you're just old. If you're over 25, you're just gross. Yeah. You're old. The older you go, the more they can goof. Then they go into, the new one is, are you a man? That's like this one of the week.
Yeah.
Then it's weight always. Then it's, sometimes it's booty, because I don't have a big booty. Then they start attacking your brain. But I think I've gone to next level because now they're ripping up my content. So I'm getting there.
All right.
So now it's gone from looks and you're an old hag
to now what you're
right.
Exactly.
Like, you're talentless. You're not funny. I put down comedian and a guy said to me, he goes, what are you, some digital creator? He goes, all girls now are digital creators. I said, no, I'm actually a comedian. He goes, no, that's funny. And I said, why is that funny? He goes, because comedians are supposed to be funny. I said, well, satire, you need you need an 80 something IQ at least to get it.
Sure.
So it's not for everyone.
No, it's not.
And your IQ has to be higher actually to even catch satire.
You know, I've done improv. And I'll tell you, because comedians on stage, that's improv. Okay, yeah, they got a set. They know what
brutal.
To do. They
yeah.
know what to do. But the bottom line is, it's improv. If it's not working, you go someplace else. You better know what you're doing. And if you get a heckler, my goodness, if you get a heckler, you better know how to handle a heckler. And that looks stupid. So, yeah, that's probably the toughest profession, I think.
Sometimes I pop, but that's why when they see me raging and stuff, they'll get like, but they don't see what led it up to that. The 40 pages, the endless heckling, so eventually, you know, it depends. Certain things still will make me pop, but most things don't. But I do find with radical truth and satire, again, you can shut up a hater. You can actually just, what I do now is I just address them literally. So if they go, when did you transition as a man? And I say, I'm not a man. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. And then they go, yes, you are. And we go, no, I'm not. And then eventually they get sick of the no, I'm not.
And they
not.
Get tired of the yes, the back and forth and back and forth. Yeah.
You're so old. You shouldn't show your face. You're washed up. I said, okay, that's your opinion. Thank you. And then they go, now you're going to delete me, right? Now you're going to block me. I'm like, nope, free hate space.
Wow.
Because I believe with all my heart, it's the freedom to offend. And why hide it?
Yeah.
Why hide? The only thing I want to fight for is that they should show it. Okay. Show who you are. And I do track them down, me and my girls. I have an FBI team. My manager there, she comes. We do. We will track you down. We will call you up. We've called people.
Okay.
We called, like one was going on and saying horrific things, very misogynistic, which is rampant right now because of the whole movement of, you know, the pitting against us against each other.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just scroll through, I know you're not a big social media guy, but like if you just scroll through, you'll see about 40 red pills. Like, well, there's actually 748 we counted. Red pill podcasts right now.
Wow.
748. There's something called, I'm not even going to give them Shmijin Men. I don't even want to give them their rep because they have over a million followers. It's a huge movement. So it does scare me a little bit how easily people are.
Wow.
You know, the street, like, you know, the young women are, it's constantly like OnlyFans, red pill. OnlyFans, red pill.
It's funny you should mention that. We got about 2 minutes before the break, but, you know, it's weird. That it's always these people online,
yes.
In their basement, living at their mother's or parents' house,
uh-huh.
That are doing all this stuff. They're not. The one thing I hate about social media is this. I'm a people person. I love meeting people in person. Okay, COVID was awful for me because I couldn't go around hanging around with people. You know, and I just it's the video's fun, but even with acting, I like doing auditions in front of people.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas the other way around, but the problem is with social media is we've all been, I guess, trained to say nasty things, and we're not going to get in trouble for it.
Well, there's no place for them to release rage.
Exactly.
Which was one of my most successful workshops was rage because they just want to scream it out. So I give them the space to do that. We used to back in the old days, they had the KKK, they had town hall. You could go and scream all you want. Yeah. I hate that person. We have no way to unleash rage and last before you go. You got to say one thing. They are not the guys in the. Everyone thinks that it's got these basement dwellers. We have to stop saying it. No, it's your cousin. It's your brother. We've tracked them down. Wow. These are fathers. They have children. Absolutely not. They're just either half of them are suppressing rage, and you're forgetting there's a lot of group of people that just because you don't like men, they're just with us by default.
Okay.
Misogyny has never been, so I think, stronger than ever right now. Because whenever the, you know, culturally, whenever the man starts repressing, it goes down the line.
That's right.
It's just like with slave days, yes. Remember? And then, you got.
It's like a domino effect, yeah.
Exactly. Then it's like kicking the cat.
Wow.
That's what's happening. So you gotta let people rage and be truthful.
Okay.
Arch Bunker.
On that note, we'll be back with Live on Tape right after this.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. And it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, in cybersecurity, when natural disasters happen, we are there in space. We are reserve citizen airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
And hello, Philadelphia. WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, live on tape with Pete Tribuco. And, of course, I'm here with my trusty sidekick over here, Tyler Conklin, doing a fantastic job on a Saturday afternoon. We got Amy Grunberg. And we've talked to her. She's a comedian, a podcaster, a really good satirist, and also child rights advocate, Safe Horizon Trauma Center. She's got more likes in all these different pages that she's got than I could ever wish for having. In fact, but because you have so many, sometimes you get people that get jealous of you and they don't like you. So they try to knock you as best as possible. And that's kind of happened with Amy sometimes every once in a while. But you've had guests on. Now, I noticed we talked about the guy guests. Okay. It sounds to me like maybe you're kind of embarrassed. You're a pretty strong woman, okay? You're a radical, man. Okay.
Well, they always say, well, they're afraid of what I'm going to say. I said, well, exactly. I don't know what I'm going to say until you do it.
Which is exactly what they said about Howard Stern. You know, they listen because they want to know what he's going to say next.
Right.
Okay. So tell me about some situations where you put some people in little embarrassing situations on your show.
Okay. Well, all right. We had one woman. Well, okay. First of all, my vision for my show would be alpha bees. Like, you know, I can't say the word, obviously. But that would be like The View. Howard Stern style got me with the whole demo. Like I'd have my hot 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-olds. Get it? And then I'm the matriarch. You have of the different age groups of The View. Anyway, so I had tried out a couple of different women that they came to me, right?
Okay.
Well, one came on and she was gaslighting the crap out of me because she wouldn't get on. When you do a live like this and I would bring another human on, right?
Okay.
You can't put a filter.
No.
You understand?
No.
Because you can't. Because you can't do, they haven't figured out the technology to do a dual filter. Like if we did six Zooms, we all can't have different filters on a Zoom. They'll probably find a way around that. So she kept telling me, it keeps shutting off. It won't work. It doesn't work. And we're fighting back and forth. I'm like, you got to shut the filter off. And she's screaming at me that she doesn't have a filter on as it's like it's doing with mine, like dots and sparkles are coming around it. I'm like, we can't get on it. We can't move forward. So that happened to me twice.
Really?
Where they're like literally arguing, so we never started. And then another, they break down right in the middle. Like if we're talking about something radical, that they get caught right in the lie. And then we keep going. Now, how do I say it? Like I said, what do you mean by that? Or when did that happen? And then I got my fact checker FBI manager, and then they just implode right on.
Oh, yeah.
Right on live. Yeah, I call it the dead eyes. They just zone out. When you get somebody live where there's no wall, they're in the headlight look.
Yeah.
Then it just becomes silent. And then all of a sudden they just go escape and then they leave. They walked out on me. Oh, wait, I do have to tell you the second one. This is on my manager, Sam. We have to put it in a clause that we may grope you. Okay. And definitely sexually harass you. A man came in and he wanted to be my sidekick, like, and run the alpha guy part.
Gotcha.
Okay, which we told him, like, don't be inappropriate. I can't drink. I'm hypersexual. All this other. I won't meet with you alone. We've had these bad incidents before. Well, he came in. He was totally inappropriate. He started yelling at everyone. So my manager decided to keep it light. She just wanted to make him she's very touchy.
Gotcha.
She wanted to make him, like, she manhandled a little bit. Like, have a little fun with him. He was super woke. Bun and everything. Got me?
Okay,
bun,
gotcha.
You know, the whole thing. So she twisted his ninny. She went like this.
Oh.
Well, it didn't go well. We thought it was like he was a regular guy that was like cool with it. Well, he wasn't cool with it. He wanted to go press charges. He was going to get her on for sexual assault. For Sam, for a twister.
Wow.
So yes, you cannot, no. And then he said to me, he goes, well, what are you going to lie? You were mistruth. I got groped going into your dome, your lair. And I said, no, I'm going to have to tell the truth. So I look at Sam and I go, Sam, I'm going to have to tell the truth. You might be going in the popo. He goes, that's it. I'm pressing charges. And this is when I used the law against him that we were saying. I said, go ahead. It's a simple misdemeanor. Sam, it's $80. I got you.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's how it started. So he was like, no, it's not. I'm like, go ahead. Go see. But anyway, we smoothed over the incident. But yes.
You know.
So we technically did sexually assault someone.
Well, not really. I mean,
if you want to get kind of.
But you know,
if it was done to a woman, I got to be fair.
Well, that's true. That is true.
Or a child. So I have to say, so that's when. But that's the willingness I'm willing to go. I would even have to tell the truth to my best friend.
But you know something? You've been on my show now for 51 minutes. Okay, why anybody would be fearful of you? I mean, you're just an amazing
of the truth,
talented purpose. Well, that's the most important factor. But only that, but...
And alpha men have big egos, which
yeah,
I love,
well, this
love
is
you guys,
true.
But
this,
they do.
This is true. We well, I wouldn't... I don't know. Maybe when I was younger, I was an alpha man. I'm not sure if I'm an alpha man now. Okay, I don't even know what I am right now. I think I'm a koala
You're
bear,
alpha.
I guess. I guess I'm a koala bear or something along those lines.
There's just a better lack of word for whatever. I just like the polarities of... And I like, as a satirist, yeah. I like to goof on, like, because I'm a sexist. And, you know, no, I am. I generalize... I stay in my little bucket. You know what I mean? I believe in no lowering of any kind of standards for anything whatsoever.
Okay.
Best person for the job kind of a girl. Like I just felt on general, not there's always exceptions, where we stay kind of in our own domains. It's just worked better.
Yeah.
Like in the old days, the women would stay in their little tribal. That's why our children suffer so much. There's no village helping each other out. And then you come back in together because majority of the times when you're with, you know, if you're staying your separate roles, you're only really uniting for food or sex. You're coming to get a conversation.
Okay.
And then the women, like, we'd be doing our things and they'd be doing theirs. And mostly male-dominated fields or female-dominated fields.
Hmm.
And that's where I think we went wrong all in a nutshell with feminism completely. Women sat and they fought each case individually to get rights that they've already had established in men's jobs and not getting any of the equal rights in our jobs. Beauticians, nail techs, sex workers, mothers, nothing. Hairdresser, you get nothing. Break your foot, you're done.
Oh my goodness.
That's the biggest difference. But we can go be a fireman. I can go be a garbage man. Like I wanted to do that anyway. But you see what we did? We didn't fight for equal rights and pensions and all these 401ks and sick days and all that in our fields. We did it to get into yours. So that was just one girl at a time. Oh, I'm Mary Sue. I just want to be a doctor. So she fought.
Yeah.
You got it? Instead of we never fought, we don't fight on a whole. Men do.
Okay.
And so it's where we can learn from each other.
Well, listen, we got about 2 minutes left, so I want to go over one last thing. You are very successful. You got a lot of stuff coming, too, by the way. You're talking with television stations. You're talking with syndication.
Eventually.
I mean, we can't really talk about individuals, but syndication, television stations, and basically your career is skyrocketing. It's gone from, I guess, very small podcasts, and now it's all over the place.
That's what I'm looking for, a steady home.
And so far, you had a Fox interview this morning, so, I mean, we'll see what happens. We got about a minute left. People that are trying to do what you want to do, in 1 minute, what did you do to be successful? And I want them to know what you're doing because I want them to be successful like yourself. So what did you do?
I think being able to express yourself publicly and speaking is probably one of the strongest things you could do, alpha both ways. So you have to just speak about something that, how do I say, inspiration or desperation. It's the only people that make people talk. So if it's rage or if it's anger or whatever it is, or just want to show your creativity, you got to just put it out. People always wait. What are you waiting for? My hair is messed up. The thing doesn't work right. My one time I had tape falling off the camera. People just, they're waiting for something to be done and you're never expressing yourself. You just put it out there. Look at you. Just put it out.
Well, you know, I think the most important thing, anything you do is passion.
Yes.
You got to have passion for what you're doing. You know, whether I'm teaching courses on safety, basically at companies or whatever, if I'm doing on the air with fantastic guests like yourself, it's passionate towards what I love to do. And I think that's what makes you so brilliant when you're doing these shows. You folks get a chance. Amy Granberg, Granburg.
So nice to hear good
anywhere.
It's so
anywhere.
Nice to hear good things for once.
Okay. Listen, on behalf of myself and Tyler, thank you, Amy. And we'll be back with Live on Tape next week.
Thank you.